how can we again recreate everything we do so when the goalkeeper steps onto that field on Saturday, they have what they need physically in terms of preparation.
Hello guys, and welcome to a new episode of the Gloves On podcast. We're your host, Marcus Sundin, and alongside me is Alexander Brams, as always. A new episode is a new guest, and today we have Andrew Swift with us. Welcome to the podcast, Andrew.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Andrew, you are the goalkeeper coach at Indy 11 at the USL Championship. Can you tell us a little bit about the current situation with your goalkeepers and how it's going at your club at the moment?
Yeah, sure. So I've been the goalkeeper coach here now going into my fourth season. We have three goalkeepers on the roster right now. Evan Newton's been with us for a couple of years, came to us from Cincinnati where he won the Golden Glove. A fantastic professional goalkeeper. He's been around MLS, USL. We have Jordan Farr as our backup. Jordan came to us from a small NAIA college, Corbin College, been with us basically, he's going into his fourth year as well, been learning the ropes, and hopefully he's ready to step into a leadership role here fairly soon. Our third goalkeeper, Alex Svetinov, is an academy goalkeeper who lives locally. We typically rotate our academy keepers through, so our U19 local DA MLS Next goalkeeper will be our third goalkeeper here.
Awesome. And yeah, I've looked back at your last couple of seasons and it looks like you've had a couple of good seasons there. And today, our main topic is going to be pre and post game analysis. We want to talk about what goes through the mind from your perspective as a goalkeeper coach and the analysis before a game and after a game. So if we take it back in the week leading up to a game, you obviously, as a goalkeeper, look at the attackers from the opposite team and stuff like that. But can you talk us through a little bit about, as a goalkeeper coach, how you prepare your starting goalkeeper for the upcoming game in the weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. So everything we do is geared towards preparing the starting goalkeeper as best as possible for the next match. And it's always a balance, right? How much information do they need? How much information do they want? At the professional level, you know, we have access to so much, you know, video, stats and so on. And it's a case of, okay, filtering out what's actually important and what do they require versus maybe, you know, sometimes I coached college before this, you're literally scrambling to find any information about an opponent, especially back in the day before everybody had video on YouTube. So at the start of the week, we're thinking about, okay, who are we playing? What are some of the trends we're going to see? And how do we replicate it in training? If it's a team who's going to be taking pot shots from outside the box, how do we recreate that? If it's a team who's going to be, you know, 1v1s on the flanks and then cutbacks, how can we create game realistic opportunities for the goalkeepers, but also getting a, you know, the ideal number of repetitions? On top of that, we need to think about what techniques are they likely to be using. Yeah, if a team's putting in a number of crosses, you know, and they're hanging them up to the back post, how can we recreate that? The movements the keeper's going to need, the pressure, where's it going to be coming from? But also, from the other side of things, how are we distributing the ball? If it's a team who's playing a low block, then probably, you know, the build out's going to be short 5-10 yard passes. If it's a team who's pressed up man to man, and we're looking to exploit, you know, 1v1 for our wide players, maybe they're hitting now, you know, big diagonals, 50 yards or so. So getting them the repetitions they need, but also at the same time, not overdoing it. You know, if they're going to have to hit those big balls, we don't want to be hitting sort of 200 of them in the week. And then next thing you know, the starter's got a sore groin. Looking ahead, what's the weather conditions going to be? We're lucky enough, you know, we've been playing at Lucas Oil, so we have an indoor NFL stadium, so every day is the same weather. But we might be going on the road, going down to Birmingham, it's 100 degrees, humid, and possible, you know, thunderstorms and so on. So considering what's the conditions going to be like? Is it going to be slick, wet grass? Is it going to be dry turf? How can we, again, recreate everything we do so when the goalkeeper steps onto that field on Saturday, they have what they need physically in terms of preparation? Off the field, a lot of the analysis we do is within the team as a whole. So they'll get the, you know, the game plan. This is what we do. This is what they do. This is how we stop them. For the goalkeepers, you know, the pertinent parts are really, how are we going to build out? How do they press? You know, when that ball comes back to your feet from a centre back, is the centre forward going to press? Is it going to be a weak side winger? That's more elements which they'll see on video with the whole team. Individual players, who are they going up against? And we have to make decisions based on, okay, is it somebody brand new? Is it somebody, you know, let's take Evan, for example. He's been around the USL for a few years. We were playing St. Louis first game 2 years ago. I'm starting to talk to him about Kyle Gregg. Okay, this is what you need to expect. Do you want a little video? He's like, I played with him for 2 years. I know everything he does. So job done. You know, other teams, maybe they've signed a brand new forward from overseas and we're trying to find out, okay, here's 30 seconds of clips, loves to get on his right foot and shoot early. Just so we have, we're painting the picture, but we don't want to overload things. You know, you don't want to be going to your goalkeeper while this guy's taken 415 shots, his XG is this, and so on. It's kind of, you know, you don't want to have paralysis by analysis and overkill with that. So it's finding, what do we need? How do you paint a general picture without giving him too much? You know, I tell you, hey, this guy always shoots with his right foot, takes three touches. He goes into a game, he takes two touches and scores. And then it's like, well, you only told me he takes three. You don't want to sort of create too direct a picture. Set pieces, we're giving the goalkeepers, obviously, what's our roles and responsibilities as a team. They need to know everything. Who's in the wall? Who's going to be a blocker? How do we adjust based on different locations? Penalties. Second goalkeeper, Jordan, he likes a lot of information. He likes to see different videos. Evan is a lot more instinctive. He says, okay, I just want to go with what I see based on that situation. Typically, we're not going to be, okay, this guy puts it in the bottom right-hand corner, because professional level, they can kind of put it where they want, right? But it's more, are there certain trends and tendencies? Does this guy have a straight run-up and hit the ball hard? Does he stutter? You know, that will give the goalkeeper a better idea in preparation. What are they going to see? If they know that guy's going to have a slow run-up and accelerate every time, helps with the timing and helps with the reading of the play. Outside of that, it's also the mental element, right? Are we going to a game, it's a team we've played three times already, we've beaten them 5-0 every time, and there's an air of complacency, like, okay, I can go 80% and still be fine this week. Is it a game where maybe the starting keeper's made a clangor against them last time, you know, they scuffed a back pass and it's gone in the net, and there's a little bit of apprehension about dealing with balls to their feet. So trying to judge, how do we get them psychologically, mentally, as prepared as possible? If it's a backup coming in, they haven't played in a few weeks, they're probably going to be sort of over keen, and it's tempering things and getting them to the right level. Again, starter, maybe it's 10th game in a row and they're just going through the slog, and how do you sort of get them going a little bit, you know? Finally, just from a physical element, you know, preparation wise, where are we within the periodization? Are we early in the season and we're still building up a little bit, we need a bit more fitness? Are we 2 weeks from the end and it's just literally, okay, extra ice baths, extra stretching, get you through this. You've seen 1,000 balls in your hand, you don't need a ton of volleys. Physically, what do you need to be sharp? So we're trying to take the whole holistic picture. How do we get that goalkeeper as ready as possible, considering as many elements as possible?
Very interesting. I think a lot of listeners out there realize now that a lot more goes behind the game day than we really think. I even realized it myself that doing your explanation here, even the small stuff like penalties, thinking about the striker or the shooter that take the penalties where you usually shoot within the range of the goal is something I wouldn't consider you think about every single time before a game. But very interesting that you really focus on all these aspects, because I can relate to myself playing currently in college, and Alexander just recently played in college. It's becoming more and more a thing in college as well. I can obviously only talk for myself that we mainly not focus on one specific team, but we would focus on the conference as a whole because we have a very physical conference. So our goalkeeper sessions are based on crosses, being physical within the box, being strong, stuff like that, instead of where you have some more advanced technology, stuff like that, knowledge as well. You focus on every single week the upcoming opponent. And I was thinking about you having a goalkeeper squad with three goalkeepers. You usually, it's common that you know who's going to play in the weekend, right? So I was thinking if you spare the starting goalkeeper a little bit during the week to make sure that he can play, and then maybe have the other goalkeepers more involved, or is it just that all three of them goes 100% during the week, every single week, even though you know who's going to start in the weekends?
Everything's a balance in terms of sort of the general repetitions, you know, the handling, the diving, the distribution, you kind of even things out. When you're in the sort of small-sided games, you're trying to provide a balance, especially for your starter. Is it a situation 3v2s where it's a lot of close-range shooting? Maybe on a Tuesday it's fine. Maybe if it's sort of 2 days before a game, you take a few of their reps off. 11 versus 11 with the tactical stuff, your starter has to be in with their team, the whole team. And then now you've got a decision on the other end. Do you want, you know, your second goalkeeper or your third goalkeeper working with the, you know, the opposition team? Because now you're asking them maybe to play in a way which they wouldn't be asked to play normally. If you're playing a team who's always, you know, 100% direct, punts every time, you want to replicate that for your team. So now maybe it's a case of for your second goalkeeper, rather than having him develop, you say, bad habits, but playing in an unnatural style, you're going to ask your third goalkeeper to take on that role a little bit. A lot of it is also individual preference. Evan, on a game die minus one, he doesn't like to have too many live shots. He wants things to be controlled on his own terms. You know, Jordan will be happy to take more reps. So you have to judge how are they, again, going to be best prepared. And if mentally they're in a happy place and they say, I need 17 volleys to finish your session, you give them 17 volleys, right? And it's all about sort of keeping that starting goalkeeper. As you know, like if one thing's different in your warm-up and the rituals change slightly, you don't feel quite as comfortable. So as a goalkeeper coach, you're trying to find every way you can to get your optimal readiness.
Yeah, and talking about that balance with how the starting goalkeeper should be playing and how much, that was something I went through when I played at Cal State Los Angeles, where I came from an injury and I just made it to the first game day of the year, and then my coach was kind of saving on me and I just haven't been playing for 3 months. So I was like, I want to train all the time, go on hard. And like that, the whole season and the first month, every time he pulled me out of practice, I was a little mad because I want to train. I want to get these reps. And he's like, Alex, if you hit the post with your knee, you're done. So he wanted me to play. And of course I wanted to play, but I also wanted to train. But looking back and looking at the end of the season where we were going into the big final, regional final, national final, I understood my coach's decision of taking me out of practice and having lighter practices and so on, because I needed to be 100% for those games. After I've played 20 games in a year, I needed to be ready for those last four games. So it is about finding a balance, and sometimes the keeper like me might get angry or is like, why do I have to do that? I love to train. But it is to protect the goalkeeper.
Absolutely. And you say when you get to the college level, you know, it's high level, you're not lazy. There's not many goalkeepers who get to that point who don't like to train, and it's almost always having to, how do I rein it back in, you know, versus, okay, you need to be doing more here. That's a very valid point. And it's a tough balance to get, because you don't want to discourage somebody from training, but it's more, okay, what's beneficial, you know, at the end of the training session when the guys want to take shots, you know, sometimes they could be out there for another hour if you let them. And as a goalkeeper, that's the fun part, right? You're diving around, you're saving shots, everyone's having a good time. You do that over a period of 6 months, that's a heck of a lot of wear and tear on your body, which is, I'd say, unnecessary. But, you know, if you're wanting to have a 15-year professional career, you know, you look at people like Buffon, he's probably not doing all the extra stuff every single day at his age, you know, but even at 25 years old, he's thinking about how do I extend my career? How do I get to this point?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's about how can you have a long career, but how can you also be successful? And everybody always says put in the extra work, but sometimes do smart work instead of extra work. I would say dying around for 15 minutes after practice is something that I personally love. Mm-hmm. I have the guys take free kicks and I have to go top corner to save it. But one time you land wrong, you might pop out your shoulder or whatever. So to conclude, it is a hard, what's it called? This is a hard balance to have. And talking about this, we just had a lot of pre-game analysis. What is your... We're going to talk about post-game analysis, but let's talk in-game analysis. What do you see from when you go to your keeper in the halftime from the first half? Is there anything? Because I always walked up, me and Omar, was like, he's like, yeah, good job, do this. Maybe communicate more on your left side. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, good point. And yeah.
Honestly, very, very little. And as much as possible, it's going to be sort of positive reinforcement, assuming that's what's needed. I mean, there's very, you know, you've conceded a goal, it's gone through your legs. Sometimes we talk about this all the time. Something bad happens in the game, the goalkeeper makes a mistake, and you see everybody on the bench turn and look at the goalkeeper coach. Why did he do that? It's like, well, you know, I don't know the answer. So sometimes there's that, you want to get that back to your goalkeeper. Like, man, you've got to do better on this. In reality, it's always about, you know, moving on, making the next save. You're not going to be breaking things down at halftime. Well, on this save, your footwork was this, your decision here. It's more about, okay, what have we seen in the first half, which you can adjust in the second half. Either, hey, here's something you can exploit, you know, ball in hand from across, look to your right flank, we can play a little quicker and maybe spring the right winger. Defensively, hey, three times now that number nine's drifting off the weak side of the centre back. Give him an earlier shout, just get that organised. But it's what can we affect in the next 45 minutes versus a recap of the first half. And often, you know, the head coach will be, hey, I want him to do this, we're going to adjust this. Because at halftime, when he's talking to the team, after 2-3 minutes, you know, the starter and myself, we're back out getting warmed up for the second half. So we need to make sure everybody's on the same page. So what key messages does he need to get to the goalkeeper? What do I need to add in? But it's rarely a synopsis of the first half and so on. And you're right, it's a good job, pat on the shoulder, hey, everything's good. You know, if things need a little bit firing up, you're 3-0 up and everything's great, maybe that's the good time to, come on, you can be a little bit better. You know, show how good you are here. But reading every situation as it comes, I think.
Okay, but I think in-game analysis can lead to a good post-game analysis, right? Because I was following a goalkeeper coach here in Denmark. He's a goalkeeper coach for FC Copenhagen in the best league in Denmark. During the game, sit with a notebook, writing notes. Minutes, let's say the goalkeeper has just been in action and he wanted to analyze the situation afterwards, he would write the minute of play when it happened, and then obviously talk with the goalkeeper in the post-game analysis. Then leading to your post-game analysis, what are some of the main elements you go through with your goalkeepers? Do you, during the game, also write down notes, what you want to talk about afterwards, or do you rewatch the mats afterwards, and then write down elements of the game there you want to go over with your goalkeepers, or do you simply just take it the game as an overall?
Sure. So I won't take much from the game. I'll watch it 24 hours later. Everybody's different. As you say, a lot of people like to do within the game thoughts and feedback. To me, I think there's a lot of the emotional element goes into it then. So my comments would definitely get maybe skewed and biased towards how I'm feeling. If we're 2-0 up and everything's great, I might miss over a few things which I could be more critical on, or vice versa. We're 1-0 down, I'm going to be hammering the goalkeeper. Oh, man, should be better at this, should be better at that. Whereas in reality, I think it can get taken a little bit out of context. And especially, you know, professional level, you've got, outside of COVID, 10,000 people in the stands yelling and screaming. And sometimes you can get taken up a little bit by that. You know, the goalkeeper makes a save, everybody cheers, and you sort of, yeah, it's a great save. Whereas in reality, it was something maybe they could have done better on, but you react to how did the crowd respond to it versus what did you actually see? So I'll watch the game back afterwards on the video. It varies. I mean, at times early in the year, especially like in scrimmage games, I'll give the goalkeepers every clip to watch. Other times I'll be more selective, like, okay, we talked about wanting to be good in the air on this game, so here's the crosses you had to deal with. Typically at this level, I'm not telling the guy, hey, you did badly at this, you need to be better at this. They know, and honestly, they know better than I do a lot of the times. So it's more a case of I'll provide something and, hey, here's a video, have a look at it. And then on the next day, we're back in on the Monday, we'll have a little discussion. And maybe there's just one thing, hey, you know, everyone will say, I thought, you know, I could have played a little bit higher off my line. I thought maybe a set piece organization could have been this. I'll let them give their thoughts and feedback rather than me going through, okay, watch in minute one, you do this, minute three, you do this. But that's kind of the relationship I have here with the goalkeepers. I'm not a 50-year professional working with academy kids. You know, again, Evan's seen more, done more than I have. Our last goalkeeper, Owain, he played in the Euros for Wales. So he's talking about, well, this is how we prepare to play, you know, Portugal, so prepare to play France. I'm like, great, you know, I played in college. You know, this is how we prepare to play St. Joseph's on a Saturday afternoon, you know. So it's trying to find that, again, that balance between it's a two-way process. How can I get that information to them? They can come back to me with the points they need to. And then if there's anything I really feel strongly, okay, this is what we wanted to work on. Again, the crosses, for example, this is what I'm seeing. This is what you've done. What do you think? And sometimes here now, we can go into a bit more of the data. Look, you know, you think you've done well. You said there wasn't an issue. You know, they've had 8 crosses, you've only dealt with one of them. So that's maybe where you'd use some of the stats as a backup, but I'm not going to be giving them 96% of your passes were here, 17% of the shots were here. You know, that's unnecessary, but sometimes it just helps reinforce a point.
Gotcha. And you touched a little bit on emotion, and we know that soccer, football is an emotional game, right? Your approach to a post-game analysis, considering the result of the game, is that different? Because obviously the goalkeeper emotionally reacts different if they lose or win, right? And I could imagine that coming back from the game, first practice, you just won the game. You want to see your actions. You want to see what you did good. You want to see what you can improve on, stuff like that. But coming back from a loss, you don't want to see that goal you considered. You don't want to see the mistakes you did that could lead to a goal, stuff like that. I know goalkeepers are different. Some goalkeepers might want to look at it right after and then say, why did I do that? And I want to improve that and I want to make it up again. But is your approach different from coming from a win, differently from coming from a loss in the weekend?
I think as much as possible, if you can keep things the same regardless. If I always, after a win, I'm saying, hey, you know, Max, here's three amazing saves you made in this game. Brilliant. You know, and it's on the night of the game. And then after a loss, I don't say anything for 48 hours. I think you start treating things differently, and that also starts maybe triggering some different emotions. So I think if you can be as consistent as possible, I know, like, if a goalkeeper's made a mistake, you know, if Evans, there was a situation he didn't like, he has watched that video within 10 minutes after the game. You know, he's on his phone, he's looking at it. I don't need to be sort of providing anything like that. But I think, you know, by putting it on, you know, we've got a private YouTube channel, a Dropbox, whatever. Hey, have a look at it yourself away from other people. I think that helps take some of the emotion out as well. You know, if I sit all the goalkeepers down, or even worse, hey, we're watching it as an entire team. Here's the first goal we conceded. What do you think? I think that's going to be a situation which would trigger more of an emotional response, especially if you've lost a game based on an error. So you're not really going to get, obviously, normally you trigger that sort of defensive response, right? Well, he should have stepped. This should have happened. You know, you don't want to be shown up in front of everybody. So it's hard to really get down to the crux of what was the issue. So if you can keep it, the emotion out of it a little bit, and keep it sort of a 1v1 process there. And sometimes, you know, it'll be 1v1, and then just within the, you know, the goalkeeper group on a Monday, hey, this happened. What do you guys think? Let's open it up. You know, Alex, if you had this in your academy, how would you have handled it? Because still, even though it's something which happened to the starter, you still want to make it a learning opportunity for everybody, right?
Yeah, that's interesting, because taking up mistakes, sometimes in our keeper group, we don't take up mistakes from our games, but we then maybe we talk about, hey, did you see Courtois, he did this weekend? Yep. And then we talk a little bit about it as we warm up. And that's really funny. Funny to do that, because sometimes you just see silly mistakes from pros and some of the world's best, and you're like, how can that happen? And it just shows that goalkeepers are humans, and every player is a human, and everybody makes mistakes, and mistakes is part of football, so, or soccer. And that sucks, because we hate making mistakes. I made a mistake in the national championship final. And that sucks, but can't do anything about it. Learn from it.
Yep.
Not looking back at it. Still have nightmares sometimes, but it happens, you know. But talking about something else, as you know, we are called Gloves On Podcast. So we wanted to talk about what your favorite gloves are and why.
That's a tough question. 100% honestly, my favorite gloves are the ones I don't pay for. I think that's probably the answer for a lot of goalkeepers. That's tough.
You didn't have to pay for any glove ever. Which glove would you choose?
I'm going to go back about 15 years. Cells used to have a pair of Aqua gloves, which I used to love, and they became incredibly hard to get. Mm-hmm. They were a negative cut, but they're a little bit bigger. And I just, the way they handled, they had good grip. They lasted. That was back in the day when I think Adidas and Nike, they just literally had a generic pair of gloves and stuck a logo on. Obviously, glove technology's come a long way, but yeah, for some reason, those were the gloves which, if I had a choice, I would wear. But you know, there's a lot of good brands out there right now, and you know, I've won a few different pairs in the last year. I know locally, John Bush, he has his own HPG brand, which is very popular, and I've seen a lot of the kids wearing those. You know, Evan, he wears Titans out of Germany, which I've tried a pair and I like those a lot. I know they do some of the custom looks, but at the end of the day, I guess the pair which helps you keep the ball out of the net when you're playing in there, right?
True. And I agree with the fact that the goalkeeper club community, world, whatever you want to say, is really growing, and a lot of new brands show up, and it's exciting to follow and interesting to see a new perspective on gloves. But Andrew, we want to thank you for taking your time today and sharing your knowledge with us. And thank you for being a part of the podcast.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you both, and I appreciate your time on this.
And we obviously wish you a good season at the USL Championship. And for the listeners out there, thank you for listening. Remember to follow me at Goalkeeper Dane, Alexander as Danish Goalkeeping, and of course the podcast, Gloves on Podcast. Talk to you soon.